The following live presentation by Rabbi David Aaron is brought to you by Israelite, inspiring a renaissance in Jewish living. To learn more about Israelite, please visit our website at www.israelite.org. Additional contact information is available at the end of this presentation. Thank you for learning with Israelite and enjoy the experience.
This very important time of year, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot, we say this psalm every single day, in the morning and in the evening. So obviously the psalm has some secret to personal transformation. Just a few words about psalms in general, and then what I'm going to ask you to do is to break up into groups of four and five, into what we call chavrutot, learning partners, and I want you to kind of chew on, not literally chew on, if you're hungry, you could chew on the text that I shared with you for about 15 minutes, maybe 20 minutes, and then we're going to reunite together and do it together. Okay, so this is really kind of learning. But just a few words about Tehillim in general. Tehillim Psalms is an incredible, powerful tool, and a tool that, sadly enough, I don't think enough people are using in their daily lives. These psalms were predominantly written by King David in the 10th century BCE. I would have to say that my first kind of inspiration to explore psalms was a priest. And it's kind of bizarre, but, you know, I do a lot of traveling, and so you find yourself in a hotel room at night, and you're tired, but you can't fall asleep because you're jet lagged. So you turn on the television, and what I love to do is I love to watch evangelists. That's where I get some of my best material. I like watching these evangelists, you know, PTL Club and everything. So I'm kind of surfing the channels, and I get this fellow. And he had a huge crowd of people. I wish I got that many people, you know? He had a huge crowd of people. And what was surprising to me, this is actually my first time ever seeing this, what's surprising me is that he's actually doing a class on Psalms. Which is interesting because, really, in the Christian world, Psalms is very significant. There's a lot of interest in it. In fact, quite frankly, when I prepare for a class, there's actually websites to have the Psalms in English and Hebrew that you can just pull it off the websites, okay? So it's an incredible thing that really, I don't know if we appreciate how much the Christian world is actually working off of Jewish material. Okay, God. I'll stop. Anyway, so I turn on the television, and I'm seeing this guy. He's very dramatic, and he's an Afro-American fellow, and he's really kind of preaching on one of the verses of the Psalms, and actually really two words that King David said, and it was, "My God," right? And he said, "I want you to know that King David says, my God. Do you know what that means? Say, my God," right? And all the people, you see that, you know, they're zooming in on the cameras, all the people go, yeah, right. And he said, "I want you to say, my God." And you saw the people in the crowd say, "My God," right? And he said, "No, I want you to really say, I want you with your heart and your soul, I want you to say, my God." Right? Now I have to say, I'm really tired, and I'm lying in bed in a hotel room, and I'm just kind of like sitting back, and I hear myself going, "My God. My God." And he's going, "No, I want you to say it louder." I said, "Okay, my God, my God." Anyways, the room service came. But it was really a strange introduction because it shocked me how much the Christian world really does take Psalms so seriously. And then it kind of challenged me, how much does the Jewish world take Psalms seriously? Now, of course, we do say Psalms, but in the general curricula of day schools, yeshivot, Hebrew schools, I question, and I don't have a complete answer, I haven't done the research, so I could be wrong, but in my education, we did not do much of Psalms. We'd say them, but we didn't learn them. And I think that's a sad situation for the Jewish people, because one of the things that was missing for me growing up as a Jew was a lack of religious emotion. In other words, you know, sometimes Judaism comes across a little too cerebral. And there's sometimes a lack of emotion. Now, I don't want to go to the other extreme, because I can't say that that particular show of that fellow was intellectually stimulating me, not at all. But I appreciated the religious emotion. Now, when you really immerse yourself into Hillel, you'll find that King David is not just simply emoting, but rather there's incredible spiritual, intellectual, and emotional depths in his words. And it's almost like a mantra that all of these verses could be used as a mantra to empower ourselves at different times in our lives, whether they're challenging times or celebrative times or fearful times. And one of those psalms is what I want to do with you today. There are 150 psalms. And I encourage you, hopefully this just be a taste of it, to begin to really explore and see the depth of the Tehillim, the psalms, and what it can do for you in your life. So this is Psalm 27, okay? And really what I want you to work on, we're going to be working on Psalm 27 for the whole day, so that'll be also in the afternoon. So what I'm going to ask you to do is, first of all, read over the entire psalm, okay? But particularly, we're going to spend most of our time on the first couple of verses, okay? This is indeed a powerful, powerful piece of Tehillim. They're all powerful. And I want to thank you for forcing me to really invest myself to understand this Tehillim, because I never really gave it that much of a real exploration until I realized that we've got a retreat and what should I talk about. And I said, well, we should learn Tehillim. And so it's in your merit that I spent many hours really going over these words and investigating the various commentaries on how to understand these words. And I found this personally so incredibly relevant in my life, and I think you'll find it relevant in your life too. Essentially, in this Tehillim, David HaMelech, King David, is dealing with the most fundamental secrets to life. In this Tehillim is the secret to true inner peace. And as we mentioned, the theme of this retreat is all about peace, inner peace, peace with all those beyond ourselves, but peace also within ourselves. And the truth is that peace with others really has to start with yourself. If you're not at peace with yourself, it's going to be, I think, almost impossible to really find peace with other people. The question is, what does peace really mean? And really what David HaMelech is doing here is he's addressing probably the ultimate problem of all human beings. And that problem is fear. Right? All our problems and all our negative behavior is rooted in fear. And if I had the secret of how to deal with fear, we're on our way to inner peace and peace with other people. But how do we get rid of angst, anxiety, insecurity? How do we get rid of phobias, compulsive, obsessive behavior? All these are various strands of the problem of fear. What is the key to peace and confidence and true inner security? It's all over here. What David HaMelech is doing here is he's going to give us the formula. Now, the problem with formulas is you got to use it, right? So very often people hope that if I've got the formula, just knowing the formula means that I'm going to be able to do this. The challenge of what David HaMelech is saying is we need to internalize this. And quite frankly, the totality of daily Jewish living is all about how to live a life that will enable me to internalize this basic truth. So let's try and understand what this basic truth is, okay? So let's look at the first verse of Tehillim 27. Le David, to David. This hit him. It was an inspiration that just came to him. You know, by the way, David HaMelech doesn't write poetry, right? Basically, poetry writes David HaMelech. He is hit with an inspiration, and he obviously uncontrollably begins to download what was input from a higher source. And this is what hits David HaMelech. Hashem ori v'ishi. Hashem is my light. Hashem is my salvation. Mimira. From whom then would I fear? Ma'oz chayai. Hashem is the power of my life, the force of my life. Mimi afchad. From who will I be in dread of? Now you have to understand, yirah and pachad are very different experiences. Pachad is an overwhelming sense of threat, one that would paralyze you. I would say definitely 9/11 was a good example of pachad. Suddenly people are in total shock. I'm sure at that moment of pachad, you don't know what to do. You're paralyzed by that shock. So that's a kind of immobilizing kind of fear. Yirah, on the other hand, is a lot more of a sense of not really so much threat, but a sense of reverence, a sense of caring. In other words, both are related to a sense of loss, whereby pachad is a loss, a fear of or a dread of the loss of life or the loss of some vital limb. Yirah is not a sense of a loss that your life or your health is being threatened, but yirah is your sense of self is being threatened. Your self-worth is being threatened in some way or at stake here. So here, David HaMelech is addressing two different kinds of fear. One somewhat of a more intellectual, inner kind of fear. One a more kind of gut, visceral, reactive. One more of a fear of loss of maybe valuables, whether it's personal value or personal valuables. Another more related to loss of life. Loss of health. But no matter, this is it. So much of our lives revolves around fear. Right? So what do we do about it? Right? How do we deal with the fear? And that's the problem that people have. People are afraid of losing their life. People are afraid of losing their health. People are afraid of losing their money. People are afraid of losing their property. People are afraid. Right? People are afraid of losing their face, losing their self-esteem, losing their self-respect. People afraid of failing. People afraid of succeeding. So much of our lives is all revolving around fear. Right? And that's our problem. But it's also the root of our negative behavior. Because I'm afraid of not getting what I want. I manipulate. I can be crude. I can be rude. Because I want to get what I want. I'm afraid I won't get what I want. If I was not afraid of not getting what I want, I wouldn't behave this way. Right? And I'm afraid of what people will think of me. So therefore I have to hide myself. I have to lie. So much of our behavior, negative behavior, and our inner turmoil is rooted in fear. So now the question is, so what do you do? What do you do with the fear? So I want you to understand that the Torah teaches us that the root of all sin starts with fear. But you know, fear of who? Fear of God. Sin starts with an unhealthy, reactive relationship to fear of God. How do we know this? Because when you look at the story of Adam and Eve, the snake, what did the snake say to Adam and Eve? The snake says, listen, you know, why doesn't God want you to eat from the tree of knowledge of good and bad? Because God knows that on the day that you will eat, you will become like Him. Now what was the snake really saying? What's the message there? The message is, you know why God doesn't want you to eat from that tree? Because He's afraid. He's afraid of you. He's afraid that if you eat of the tree, you will become like him, also powerful, and he will not be able to keep you under his thumb. He wants to subordinate you, subject you, subdue you. He needs to control you, and he's afraid of you and the power within you. That's why he doesn't want you to eat of the tree. Okay? The Midrash says that basically the snake is saying that this is all about competition. It's competition. Nobody likes somebody who's in the same field as themselves, right? Because there's a competition, you know? So, you know, if you're an artist, you meet another artist, then there's a little, sometimes, not always, a little, like, tension over here, like, right? So that's what the snake was saying. God is a little bit competitive. True, he created you in his image, but, you know, there's just so much, you know? Like, there's so much. So he's afraid of you. And that's why he gave you the mitzvahs. Why did he give you the mitzvahs? Because he wants you to be afraid of him. You got it? So it all revolves around fear. God is afraid of you, and therefore he has created a plot to make you afraid of him. You know who said this much later on in history? Nietzsche. Friedrich Nietzsche said the same thing in his own way. Because what did Nietzsche say? Nietzsche said there are two types of people in the world. There's strong people and there's weak people. Strong people do what they want, when they want, where they want. They're strong. And they're not afraid of anyone or anything. Right? Weak people, they're weak. But those weak people are smart. Because you know what the weak people did? To protect themselves from the strong, from whom they were afraid, they created a plot. And you know what the plot is called? Morality. The weak people invented morality to make all the strong people feel so guilty that they're strong. Right? And who are the strong people who are the weak people that invented morality and essentially invented and have the patent on guilt? You, Jew. It's your fault. The entire world lives in fear of God, fear of punishment, lives with guilt because of you guys. Okay, now they got good reason to hate us. Okay, because this is all our fault. We invented guilt. And all these phobias and all this neurosis and all this angst and all this anxiety is because of Jews. Yeah. I remember I gave to Kirk Douglas a brochure of Israelite. And the beginning of the brochure, it says, an Israelite, you will experience a Judaism, not a Judaism of guilt, but a Judaism of love and compassion. So Kirk really loved this brochure, and he gave it to Michael Douglas, right? His son. Michael's not Jewish, but Kirk was hoping to inspire Michael with some Torah. So he said, Michael, you got to read this brochure. So Kirk tells me the story. So Michael reads the brochure, and he's reading, and he gets to the first line. He says, at Israelite, you will meet a Judaism not about guilt. So Michael turns to Kirk and says, Dad, that's not possible. Right? It's only about guilt. Kirk said, you know, Michael, you're only half a Jew, but you've got double the guilt than most Jews. So it's, you know, like, the guilt is all because of us. Now you understand why Hitler hated us. Because Hitler loved Nietzsche, and Hitler said, Mein Kampf, Pasuk, I'm just joking. I don't remember the Pasuk. But he said that basically the Jews are the conscience of the world. Hitler said, we are barbarians, and we are proud of it. It's the Jews that are party poopers, right? We are happy animals, right? We do what we want. We're not afraid of doing what we feel like doing. And it's the Jews that go around making everybody feel guilty and afraid of God. Okay? So you understand that the first sin revolves around fear. It revolves around the snake saying that God is afraid of you, and therefore he has invented a plot to protect himself from his fear by invoking in you fear. And he wants you to live a God-fearing life. Now, I want you to know, I think one of the biggest mistakes in translations, English translations of the Siddur, of the Tanakh, of the scriptures, is that the word Yira has been translated into fear. And the word Yira can be translated to reverence, it can be translated to awe, it can be translated to respect. But you know, but the idea of Yira, who wants to live a life of fear? And I think that's one of the biggest problems that Jews have with Judaism today, as well as people in general with religion. They think it's all about fear, right? And nobody wants to live in fear. And I've got enough phobias without Judaism, so I need, on top of it, to get neurotic whether there's some chametz in my... I mean, if you ever go in a home and you look at people looking for a crumb, you know, just before you say... I don't want to do this. You know, if that's what happens. Now, of course, if you were properly taught Judaism, you know, you wouldn't be like that. But it's true that there is so much of an issue that people have with fear, and they think that the root of fear is Judaism, and that the ultimate source of fear is God. And that our goal is to live a God-fearing life and live in fear all day long, you know? And, you know, you have verses that talk about accepting the yoke of heaven on you, you know? You should have the fear of the yoke of heaven. I always get this image of this huge egg, right? And I just see it cracking and... It's the yoke of heaven! You know, like, oh, it's all over me! Right? It's like, and it just, it's all about fear. Okay. David HaMelech is setting our minds to peace. He's going to give us the secret formula to overcoming all anxiety, all phobias, all types of fear, even dread, even fear of losing one's life. What is the answer? It's very simple. Hashem Ori v'ishi, mimira. If I know in my heart that God is my light and my salvation, which we'll soon try and understand what these words mean, then I will never ever have anything to fear. And if I know that God is ma'oz chayai, the life force, the power of my life, then who would I ever dread? If I truly, truly internalize who Hashem, God, really is in my life, then I will have the power to overcome all fear. Unlike what Nietzsche said and like what other people think, that a belief in God is the source of your anxiety, is the source of fear, and that no one would want to live a God-fearing life or any kind of fearing life. I just want to live a life of love and happiness. David HaMelech is enabling us to understand that it's just the opposite. That a life of faith is the only true way to truly deal with all kinds of fear. Whether it's fear of life, whether it's fear of living alone the rest of my life, whatever fear it is that I have, what will set my mind to peace is to know that God is my light, God is my salvation, and God is the power of my life. So now let's understand this. If I knew that God was my light, salvation, and life force, then who would I fear? When David HaMelech says, who would I fear, it has two meanings. Who would I fear, meaning why would I fear God if I know that He's my light, salvation, and life force? Are you afraid of your life? Are you afraid of the very source and power of your own consciousness? No. So one understanding is David HaMelech is really referring these words to God. That if I understood that God is not some big, mean deity floating in outer space somewhere over there, throwing lightning bolts at me, if I know that there's no such God, then, and I knew that God was really my light, salvation, and power of life, then who is it that I'm fearing? You know, Shlomo Rabbi Shlomo Kalbach, was known to be extremely happy during Elul, which is a little unusual for a lot of people, because Elul gets a little tense, they start to get that angst. Rosh Hashanah is coming, Yom Adin, the day of judgment, the day of remembering, God remembers every little itsy bitsy teeny weeny thing I do in my life, and there is consequences to my life, right? So it's understandable that during Elul one would have angst. It's so interesting that we're going to say this psalm every single day during Elul, right? So Shlomo, Rav Shlomo, was known to be exceptionally happy during this time before Rosh Hashanah. So someone came up to Rav Shlomo and said, Rav Shlomo, you know, the day of judgment is coming. How is it that you're so happy, especially happy now? So David Amela says, brother, Shlomo said, right. David Amela would never say, brother, right. He'd say, brethren. Okay. So David, Shlomo, I'm getting so confused, all these religious names. Okay, Saul. Okay, so Rav Shlomo said, he said, brother, you know the judge? Let me tell you a secret. He's my dad. Okay? The judge is my dad. Okay, so I'm not afraid. Okay? So I know that when Rosh Hashanah is coming, it's my dad judging me. Okay? Not your dad. I don't know what your dad is like. Okay? Because maybe you have reason to be afraid. But if it is Hashem, the ultimate parent of the universe, a truly loving, forgiving force in the universe, Mimira, who is it that I'm fearing? Now, you have to understand, according to Jewish law, there is a mitzvah to have Yirat Shemayim. Yirat Shemayim, you do not have a mitzvah for Pachad Shemayim, by the way. There is no mitzvah to have Pachad, dread of God. Right? There is a mitzvah to have Yira. There's also a mitzvah to have Yira of your parents. But Yira does not mean this kind of angst and anxiety that someone's trying to hurt you. It has nothing to do with that. God is never, ever, ever, and if you'll only get this from this entire weekend, it would be worth it. God is never, ever trying to hurt you. Hashem is only, and always trying to help us and heal us. Of course, sometimes it hurts to be healed. Right? Sometimes it does hurt to be healed. It's only about healing. And so, Yirah, we have a mitzvah to have Yirah for our parents, respect, reverence, a sense of loyalty, a sense of understanding our place, who are we and who are they relative to them, a certain humility in their presence. But that's an empowering understanding of who I am and who my parents can be in my life. It's not meant to create any kind of anxiety. Just the opposite. It should set my mind at peace. It should give me security that I am in the presence of someone that I have reverence of, awe of, and great respect of, and therefore great trust in. So therefore, when David HaMelech says, Hashem ori v'ishi, Hashem is my light, and Hashem is my salvation, mimira, from who is it that I'm fearing? Right? If Yira creates within me anxiety, then I don't understand who God is. I don't understand what my relationship with God really is, because it shouldn't be creating that anxiety. And if I know that Hashem is Moz Chayai, the power of my life, life is not trying to take your life. Life is only interested in life. Mimifchad, of whom is it that I dread? But Mimira also means not only from whom I dread, but if I have a proper consciousness of God in my life, then who else would I fear? Am I afraid of what people say of me? If I know that all what matters is really what God thinks of me? In other words, another way of understanding this verse is when a person has a proper relationship of Yirat Shemayim, of reverence and consciousness of God, that will free them of all other angst and fear and phobias of anyone or anything else in their lives. Right? And that's exactly what it says in the story of the midwives during the time when the Jewish people were in Egypt. And King Pharaoh decided that he would kill all the Jewish boys. And what basically did the Jewish midwives do? They saved the boys. And they were not afraid of Pharaoh. And it says, why were they not afraid of Pharaoh? Because they had Yirat Hashem. A person who truly has a consciousness of God is empowered never to be afraid of anyone, anything, or any other event. So what's the secret? The secret to dealing with all angst, phobia, insecurities, fear, neurosis, is faith in Hashem, that Hashem is Uri, Ishi, Umeos Chayai. So now we have to understand, what does this mean? What does it mean that Hashem is my light, my salvation, and my life force? And there's two ways of understanding this very verse. One is that he's talking poetically. Metaphorically, God is my light, salvation, and life force. And the other is that God is literally my life, my light, my salvation, my life force. So let's look at the verse metaphorically, and then let's look at the verse literally. Okay, you with me? Okay. What does it mean that Hashem is my light? It means that Hashem is my guiding light. Hashem does not want me to be in the dark. And if I reach out to Hashem, then Hashem will give me the light to see what I need to see, to make the choices I need to make. And if I don't see what I need, what I think I need to see, and I'm not able to make the choices I think I need to make, then obviously I don't need to see it, and I don't need to make that choice. And that's when people get into angst. They try to make choices that they don't have to make. Right? They try to deal with issues that really aren't really for them. There was a great Hasidic master who said, I never needed anything, because if I didn't have it, I didn't need it. Right? And a friend of mine who recently survived cancer, I hope she continues to survive cancer, her rabbi taught her to always say to yourself, whatever I have is what I need, and whatever I need is what I have. So as soon as she was told that she had cancer, and she went to a rabbi, he said, remind yourself, Hashem is with you, and He is your light. And therefore, whatever's happening in your life is enlightenment, is an opportunity. Whatever you have is what you need, and whatever you need is what you have, because God is your light. So why would you be afraid of any situation? Because surely in whatever situation or whatever relationship you are, there's a light right there waiting for you to just open your eyes. God is my guiding light. So don't worry. Right? Be happy. You have nothing to worry. Hashem is my guiding light. And that's why the Torah is referred to as light. What is light? You can't see light. Light, which enables you to see, itself cannot be seen. If you see a ray of light, it's not light that you see, but it's rather dust illuminated in light, right? So you see a ray of dust, but you don't see light, okay? So light is a power that enables you to see, all right? And Hashem gives us that power, and Torah gives us the power to see. It's a guiding light in our lives. Rosh Shlomo was once invited to a college to speak. Rav Shlomo was a overflowing fountain of Jewish knowledge, and therefore he never prepared for any of his classes. So he didn't even ask what the class was about until he would get there. So he got there, he says, okay, so what's the class about? So he said, well, actually we're waiting for the other panelists. Panelists? What do you mean panelists? He says, well, this is actually a debate. A debate. Now, if you knew anything about Rav Shlomo Carbach, he was not one that would want to debate. He's a debate. Who am I debating with? He said, well, we have a reform rabbi and a conservative rabbi, and you, of course, are the orthodox rabbi, which, of course, this kind of label was not Rav Shlomo's way. You know, it's just, you know, that all these Jews were labeled. So he said, well, what are we debating about? He said, well, the debate is whether the Torah is from God. Historical proof of whether the Torah is from God. Of course, not at all Rav Shlomo's thing. So Shlomo's wondering, okay, what am I going to say? So they invited Rav Shlomo to talk first. And this is what he said. He said, holy friends. Holy, holy friends. Open up your hearts. And he said, before I can talk about whether the Torah is from God, I would have to first deal with whether I think I need a Torah from God. Because if I don't think I need a Torah from God, what's the difference? You see, my holy friends, we are the only creatures in the world who are confused. Those ducks are happy. They do not live with angst. They don't have fear of God. They are not aware of any yoke of heaven. Animals are happy. And the pagan world was all about a nostalgia for going back to animal life. Why can't we be like them? Happy ducks, lucky ducks. But God is my light. So Rav Shlomo said, animals, they don't need guidance. They know exactly what they need to do. And you know, animals, they're never fakes. You'll never see a duck think he's a dog. Never, you know. But human beings, oh, we're such fakes. It's so easy for us to lose our path because we need a light. They don't need a light. So when it says God is my light, Mimira, who am I afraid of? Right? Who am I worried? Hashem is going to provide me the light I need. So Hashem is my light. Also, Hashem is my salvation. What does salvation mean? Right? I don't like the English word salvation, because as soon as I think of salvation, I think of a Salvation Army. I think of people out on the street, you know, collecting money. So the word salvation doesn't sound Jewish. That's why I translate it salvation. It's a Yiddish term, salvation. So Hashem is my salvation. And if you really think about it, now, salvation, Yeshua, means unconditional love. When we say that Hashem will bring Yeshua to us, it means even if we won't deserve it. Yeshua is the highest manifestation of unconditional love. So if I know that God is my light, He doesn't want me to be in darkness, He doesn't want me to wander around lost, but Hashem is always providing for me a light of guidance if only I ask for that light and open up my heart to use that light. And if I knew in my heart that God unconditionally loves me, so I know that this story is going to have a happy ending. So don't worry about the ending. You just worry about the quality of the journey. And that's your choice, which we talked about a little bit last night. That's your choice. Don't worry about fixing the world. God will fix the world. Right? And don't worry about even fixing yourself, because God will eventually empower you to fix yourself. But now that you know there's a happy ending, so now you should have the calm to deal with the now of what you need to do right now. And very often people don't have the clarity of what they need to do right now because they're so worried, what will be the final scene of my life? So Yeshi is a guarantee. And they lived happily ever after. Okay? That's guaranteed. So we know the beginning of the story, God created the world. And we know the end of the story, Mashiach is coming and everything's going to be a gewalt, right? Which is a French word. Okay? Everything's going to be fabulous. So don't worry about that. Just take this step. Just take this step. Right? So if I knew that Hashem is my light, if I knew that Hashem unconditionally loves me, so whatever I'm going through is going to be okay. So that empowers me to go on. And if I know that Hashem is the power of my life, then what do I dread? Right? Hashem is there. I'm empowered. Life force is there ready for me. So I have nothing to worry about. But that's on a metaphorical level. Hashem is my light, my guiding light. Hashem is my salvation. He loves me unconditionally. Hashem is my life force. And I live an unconditional life. Life is unconditional. And the love is unconditional. So don't worry. But make courageous choices now that you know that Hashem is with you. And if only we could internalize that message, right? We'd put a lot of psychologists out of business. Right? Let's look at it more literally, because this is literally true. What does it mean Hashem is my light? He's not only my guiding light. Hashem is the source of all consciousness. From a Kabbalistic point of view, as I mentioned last night, each and every one of us is referred to as a chelek elokam mima'al, a part of God. You are a part of God. And therefore, metaphorically, your relationship to God is like the relationship of a ray of light to the sun. Okay? So imagine a ray of light suddenly having awareness. What would it experience about itself? Right? You get this? This is kind of like out of science fiction. Imagine you are a light wave, and suddenly you become conscious of yourself. So you feel a little wavy. Okay? So then you're trying to really get a sense of, well, who am I? And people call you Ray. Okay? So, you know, say, who am I? So we say, you're Ray! Right? But what does it mean I'm a Ray? It means that I am connected to a life force right now. It means that all the powers within me are not from me. My ability to think is not my ability. I didn't teach my brain to think. My ability to speak is not from me. I didn't teach myself to think, to speak. You see, I don't even know how to speak, right? And my ability to hear is not from me. Who taught me how to hear? All the powers of consciousness, which is light, because the powers of consciousness, which is enables you to cognate, to perceive, where are they coming from? God is my light. And so if I knew that God is my light, what, I'm connected to God. What am I fearing? Right? And if I know that God is not only my light, but that God is my ishi, my salvation. So the commentary Hirsch explains, salvation means the word yesha. Yesha means my essence. So Rav Hirsch says, yeshi means God is not only my light, the very bedrock of my consciousness, but God is my true essence. My essence is godliness. God is my essence. So what am I afraid of? Right? In other words, if somebody criticizes you, right? So you feel bad, and people are afraid of getting criticism. Well, if I knew that Hashem was my light, so that I wouldn't be afraid of criticism. Why? Because I know that that criticism only can help me. Right? I'm not afraid of criticism because nobody can diminish my self-worth. Because my self-worth is not dependent on anybody. Because my self-worth is only dependent on God. And that's a sure thing. If God is my light, and if God is my true essence, then nobody can physically hurt me, nobody could mentally hurt me, because my self-worth is not dependent upon anything, any event, any person. My self-worth is only dependent on God. Okay? And all I have to do is just remember this truth. That's the hard part of this, right? Right? And if I know that Hashem is Moz Chayai, that Hashem is my life force, then I know that I'm never going to die. The Kabbalah teaches that death is an illusion. Nobody's going to die. Because a soul, which is a part of eternity, is never going to die. You might leave your body, but you're not going to die. So why would you be afraid? Why would you think that your life is being threatened? Your life is not being threatened. Because you're never going to die. Because nobody can take that away from you. Now, I heard an amazing story, and some of you might have heard this story. A friend of mine did interviews of holy women. But, you know, a lot of times people hear about Rebbes. What about Rebbetzins? There's tremendous amount of Rebbetzins. So my friend decided that she would go interviewing Rebbetzins. There's one particular woman in Israel who is known for giving blessings for fertility. And why is she giving blessings for fertility? Because she was a medical experimentation for the advancement of medicine in Auschwitz. And she was not able to have children after being in Auschwitz. And this woman is known that many women who are seeking to conceive go to this woman for a bracha, for a blessing, to channel blessing of fertility into their lives. So my friend in her interview said to this woman, can I ask you a question? She said, sure. She says, what was it like living in Auschwitz? And this woman said to her, Auschwitz wasn't so bad. Could you imagine a person saying Auschwitz wasn't so bad? And then the woman turned to my friend and said, can I ask you a question? She said, sure. What was it like living in a secular society? Because my friend is a Baal Tshuva. She was not religious before, and then she became religious later on. So you imagine the shock of my friend's face. Like, are you insinuating some comparison between Auschwitz and a secular society? So my friend asked her that question. And the woman said, let me tell you the difference You see, in Auschwitz, they could get our bodies, but they couldn't get our souls. But the secular world can take your soul. Can take your soul. And that's much scarier. When a person knows that their true self is rooted in, and their powers are all drawn from, this very second, every word that's coming out of my mouth is only happening because I live in a state of partnership with God. All right? And all the powers to speak and all the powers to think and all the powers to even joke are not my powers. But Hashem has given each and every one of us the gift of being a vehicle, a vessel, a channel for divine presence in the world. And if I knew that, and I deeply internalized that, then I wouldn't have angst. I wouldn't have fear. I wouldn't be afraid of what people think or what people do to me, because I know that my life is rooted in something or someone that is eternal, and someone who forever loves and cares about me, and someone who guarantees a happy ending. And all I have to do is determine the quality of the choice. As I'm sure you're all familiar with, Rav Nachman of Breslov would say, Kolam kulo gesher k'tzar miod, the entire world is a very narrow bridge. But the main thing to recall is to have no fear at all. But the interesting thing is that generally people translate it, have no fear at all, lo lefachid klal. But the truth is that Rav Nachman said, lo litpachid, which means don't cause yourself to fear. The only thing you should really fear is fear itself. The only thing you should really fear is that you're denying yourself to allow Hashem's love into your life. Denying yourself to know who you are, who is Hashem, and what is your relationship. Hashem is your guiding light. He's not only your guiding light, He is your light. Your very power to think, your very power to cognate is being this very second drawn from a source much greater than yourselves. Right? And God is my salvation. Not only does He guarantee me a happy ending, but my true essence is rooted in God, and God is manifest through each and every one of us. So what am I afraid of? Who am I afraid of? And God is most chayai, God is the power of my life. My life is eternal. My son just the other day showed me an incredible halacha. You know, in Jewish tradition, there's a bracha that you say when you enjoy food. There's a bracha, there's a blessing that you say before you eat the food. There's also a blessing that you say before fragrance, okay? But not fragrance which is meant to mask a bad smell, like deodorant. You don't make a bracha on deodorant, okay? But fragrance, and you'll know, we'll talk a little bit about this Motzei Shabbat, we have something called besamim, okay? So we make a bracha on besamim. But there's another bracha, a very beautiful bracha, called shehechiyanu. Let's say you haven't had a particular fruit, which just comes in, you know, it just came out. This is the season for this fruit. It's a little difficult in America because things are being, you know, in the world today, things are being imported and exported all over the place. So you don't know, is this in season or not? But if you haven't had a certain fruit in a certain amount of time, so you say Shehechiyanu, right? Shehechiyanu v'kimanu v'higyanu l'zman hazeh. Blessed be you, Hashem, who's kept me alive and kept me here to enjoy this special moment. And I got to this moment. There is no bracha of Shehechiyanu on a fragrance. You understand this? On fruits, right? Food, there is a Shehechiyanu that you would bless God not only for the fruit, but for this opportunity that you have stayed alive. God has kept you alive for this special moment. So why don't you make a blessing on fragrance, Shehechiyanu, if you haven't, you know, smelt this particular flower or this particular spice in a certain amount of time? Because the joy of fragrance is a pure spiritual joy. Your body gets no pleasure from fragrance. Your soul. When you eat food, your soul and your body gets pleasure. But when you smell something, it goes directly and purely to your soul. And it's your soul that gets the joy. And since your soul is eternal, you wouldn't say that you've kept me alive till today, because there's no question that God would keep you alive today, because you're never going to die. Do you follow this incredible halacha? This is such a fabulous halacha because it halachically demonstrates how you are eternal, And therefore, soul pleasures, purely soul pleasures, would not have that kind of Shekhiyanu on it, because it's purely a soul pleasure, and the soul, of course, is alive and stays alive and will never die. So if we had that consciousness, if we would internalize that God is my light, my guiding light, and my bedrock of consciousness, that God is my salvation, that He's not only one who loves me unconditionally, but is the true essence of my being, and that God is Me'oz Chayai, that He's not only the life force that encourages me, that He guarantees me unconditional life, but the very life force in me right now. It's a pasuk in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 20. Ki hu chayechem. God is your life. Who is God? Not some being floating out of space. Your life is a manifestation of God. Just doing this is an expression of godliness. And if a person had that deep, deep-seated awareness, mimiyefchad, mimira, all phobia, all angst, all anxiety, all worries, compulsive, obsessive behavior, dread, fear, it's only because of one thing, that we don't have proper God consciousness. That's the answer of Judaism, that's the answer that David HaMelech gives us. That's why I gave you that piece of Gemara. I don't know if you looked at that Gemara, but in that Gemara, we'll take a quick look at it. Our rabbis taught it once happened with Hillel the Elder. That he was coming from a journey and he heard a great cry in the city. And he said, I am confident that this does not come from my home. How is he confident? Right? You know, imagine you hear something on the news that there's a fire in New York City. Imagine you start thinking, maybe that's my house. Right? Maybe that's happening to me. Okay? Hillel, if you heard something, he was confident that this is not coming from my home. Why? So it says of him, scripture says, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. He will not be afraid of evil tidings. Now, does this guarantee that this is not coming from his house? No. It means he just doesn't live with this phobia, this neurosis, this must be coming from my house. He lives until he knows for sure it's coming from his house. He has no question that it's not coming from his house. Do you understand that? So many people live their lives thinking, all right, this must be coming from my house, right? Suddenly, I feel a little something in my knee. This must be cancer, right? Something, you know, it's like, it's so neurotic. The smallest thing happened and already we've blown it out of proportion. A true believer in God does not worry about what they don't need to worry about. He hears this and he knows this is not coming from his house. But that doesn't guarantee what? You see, difficult things don't happen to tzaddikim. Believe me, just look at Jewish history. Right? So what are you talking about? A tzaddik is not absolved from difficult, challenging, tragic, painful things. Right? There's plenty of tzaddikim that are sick. There's plenty of tzaddikim, great holy people that are poor. So does that guarantee it? No, it guarantees that you live a life without angst. Right? And then if he got home and he saw it was from his home, how would he deal with it? He would deal with it. He wouldn't freak. He would say, God is my light, and therefore there's some guiding message in here. He would say, God is my salvation, and I know there'll be a happy ending to this. And he says, and God is the power of my life, and I know that none of us is going to die. We might leave this world. Okay, fine. Like leaving the room. Okay, he's got to leave the room sometime. But none of us is going to die. That's what he would think. Right? Now, I remember I saw this rock concert, and after the concert, the band was like getting ready to leave, and a little boy walked up to the drummer. And a little boy came up to the drummer and says, yeah, the drummer! You're the drummer of that band, right? You were up there, right? The guy says, yeah, kid, yeah, you want my autograph? He says, no, I just want to tell you, you stink. And you should have seen how this grown man took offense to the little kid, you know, he says, yeah, and he started like swearing at this kid, and like, if you knew, if a kid came up to you and said, you stink, then what should this drummer said? He should have said, Hashem is Uri V'ishi Me'oz Chayai, kid. So you stink. No. He would have said, well, I don't need this kid's approval. God is my light. God is my salvation. God is the life force. Right? I don't need you, kid. Okay. Now, I appreciate you coming to the concert, and I won't give you money back, but that's how a tzaddik deals with it. Let's go on. Rabbah said, whenever you expound this verse, You may make the second clause explain the first, or the first clause explain the second. In other words, you may make the second clause explain the first. Thus, he will not fear evil. Why? Because his heart is steadfast in trusting God. In other words, this is a fact. The verse is a fact. You will never fear evil. You will never fear disease. You will never fear your bank account. Right? If you have trust in God, that's truly your trust. I remember I went fundraising to a fellow, extremely wealthy fellow. It was a tremendous opportunity to get into his office. I was so excited because, I mean, you know, state of the art, everything. So I figured I'm in the presence of a person who surely can make a very, you know, beautiful donation to Israelite. I get into his room. He's got this panoramic view. He's got this, you know, this very expensive suit. He's got antique furniture and paintings. And so I start telling him about Israelite and Jewish continuity and the work that we're doing. And he's listening very carefully. And he says, Rabbi, would you like a coffee? I said, thank you. He reaches under his desk. He must have pushed some button or, and he says, and this very attractive receptionist shows up. She says, yes, sir. So there's two coffees, please. So she brings the coffee, right? And she says to him, sir, would you like two spoons? And she says, yes, thank you. She says, sir, would you like cream? He says, thank you. She says, sir, would you like me to stir it? He says, thank you. I said, wow. This guy's rich, you know? So then she says to me, so Rabbi, would you like some sugar? I said, no. She said, would you like some cream? I said, no. She said, would you like me to stir it? Okay. You get the experience, you know, at least that. And that's third. So I'm really excited. Like, this is great. You know, I'm with this wealthy guy. He's surely going to make a big donation. So I tell him the whole song and dance about Israelite, the Jewish people, continuity. So after I give him the whole song and dance, he says, you know, Rabbi, please, you know, don't let all this fool you. All this? Yes, I worry. You worry? Rabbi, I worry every day. I don't know. You just don't know when you could lose it all. So I'd like to help you out, but I really, you know, I have to be cautious with my future. And so he made a very gracious $18 check. I felt so bad for him, I wrote him an $18 check. I said, listen, you know, keep the change, and thanks for the stir. But I saw that really, it's so bizarre that we call securities, securities. Like money is securities, right? Securities, trust funds, right? You have trust in funds, right? Yes, I'm investing in securities and I have a trust fund. So you must feel really at peace with yourself, right? We only have one trust. Not a fund, it's Hashem. Right? Trust funds you give to Israelite. You trust Hashem. Trust funds, insecurities, securities, that's securities. That's a sad thing. People put their faith in money. People put their faith in their doctors. People put their faith in politicians. Right? Boy, I tell you, Israel definitely teaches you not to put your faith in politicians. You know what they say? That 99% of all Israeli politicians give the rest a bad name. I'm just... What is really a trust? So this is a fact. A person will never fear evil tidings if they have faith in God. But there's another way of reading it. He says, you may explain the second clause by the first. Thus, his heart is steadfast, trusting the Lord. Therefore, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. In other words, this verse could be read not as a fact, but as advice. How do you want to deal with your anxiety and angst in your life? Right? Work on trusting Hashem. Right? I mean, look, this world is pretty good. Right? I mean, we're trusting in the one who invented eyeballs. Designed eyeballs. That's pretty good. Right? That's impressive. Right? We're trusting in the one, I remember I had to take my father to his heart doctor, and they did an echo of his heart, and here I'm seeing my father's heart, you know, on a screen. And like, it's like seeing is not believing. Like, that's a heart. Right? That's a heart. So, who do I trust in? Whoever designed this little thing in here, that's going boom, 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 boom. So if you feel just a little angst, just take your pulse and say, you know, whoever is telling the beat to go on, then I'm okay. Right? Because it's not me. I'm not doing this. I'm not beating my heart. So whoever is, knows what he's doing. Right? So why am I afraid? So therefore, this verse can not only be said as a fact. The fact is people who trust in God do not have phobias, do not have angst, do not live in worry and anxiety. But if you don't have that, and you do live in anxiety and phobia, then here's how you deal with it. Learn how to trust Hashem. Increase your God consciousness, which is all what Judaism is about. That's just what it's about. All the mitzvot, the commandments, the holidays. It's a daily living of building God consciousness and overcoming the most fundamental problem of life and the source of all our negative behavior, which is fear. Because if I truly have fear of God, I have fear of nothing else. And there I'm truly at peace. I have nothing to worry. But let's go on. It says, a certain disciple, you with me? A certain disciple is once following Rabbi Yishmael, son of Rabbi Josi, in the marketplace of Zion. The leader noticed that he looked afraid. And he said, you are a sinner. Do you understand that? Rabbi Yossi looked at Rabbi Yishmael. He saw that there was fear on his face. He said, you're a sinner. Meaning a person who's afraid. That's a sinner. Right? People think sinners are people who don't eat kosher and people... You know what? That's a symptom. Right? But the real demonstration of a person who truly lives a life of sin is a person who lives a life of angst, of deep, deep angst and anxiety and fear. I'm not saying concern. Of course you should be concerned and you should make the proper decisions, right? I'm not saying just be easygoing all the time. But he says to him, you're a sinner. And he brings a verse. The sinners in Zion are afraid. So therefore, you know, if you're afraid, you must be a sinner. And Yishayahu, he replied, but there's another verse. Thank God in Judaism there's always another verse, right? Right? The other verse says, happy is the man that fears always. So he replied, that verse refers to forgetting the words of Torah. There is something you should be afraid of, and this is the only thing you should be afraid of, is to forget this Torah that we just learned. That's the only thing you should be afraid of, to forget God's words. That's something to be afraid of. And if you only fear forgetting God's words, you'll free yourself of all other fears in your life. Okay, so there's another story. Rabbi Judah, the son of Nathan, used to follow Rabbi Hamnuna. Once he sighed, just a sigh, he said, oi, it's oi. There's a certain sense of fear, angst, right? And the other said to him, this man wants to bring suffering on himself. This is an amazing Gemara. You got to know this Gemara. And he brings a verse. What does it say? For the thing which I did fear has come upon me. This is from Eov, Job. And that which I was afraid has taken over me. Your fear is bringing it upon you. The more you're afraid of sickness, the more you invite the sickness. The more you're afraid of financial disaster, the more you invite it in. Because you're kicking God out of your life. That's what ego means. Ego is the acronym for edging God out. Okay? And ego trusts itself and soul trusts in God. Only egos are scared. Because they trust in themselves, they trust in their stocks, they have a trust fund. Right? Maybe ego stands for hedging God out. As hego, right? Your hedge funds. But what do you really trust in? But he replied, but doesn't it say happy is a man who fears always? Shouldn't I always be afraid? And he answered, yeah, you should be afraid of forgetting Torah. Because if you don't forget Torah, right, and you remember the words of Torah, the words of God, the guiding light in your life, the testimony that God is forever with you, the covenant that God forever loves you, that's the only thing you should be afraid of. You should fear that you forget God's love. You should fear that you forget God's trust. And you should fear that you forget God's word. And if that's all you fear, you will free yourself of all other fears. You will live a life of true inner peace, of true security. Right? You'll never say, maybe that comes from my home. You will never live with this prophetic vision of the horrors that are about to happen to you. You will live here, you will live now, and you will meet and face Ori Ishi Miros Chayai, my light, my salvation, and the true power of my life. Thank you very much.
This presentation by Rabbi David Aaron has been brought to you by Israelite, inspiring a renaissance in Jewish living. To access additional presentations from our online media library, order our best-selling books, or learn more about Israelite programming, including seminars, web-based learning, teleconferences, spiritual retreats, Shabbaton experiences, Israel missions, and leadership training, please visit us at www.israelite.org. That's www.israelight.org. You can also call us in New York at 212-947-4990 or in Jerusalem at country code 972-2-627-4890. We hope you enjoyed this presentation, and we look forward to learning with you at Israelite.